All right. A few reminders, a few of you missed the beginning part. We will break every 50 minutes. So try to have as little moving about during the sessions as possible. I know we probably have some pregnant ladies here, and there are no rules for pregnant ladies. You do whatever you want at any time. Okay? I've learned. Do y'all like my pink? I wore pink today in honor of this. And I think I've matched most of the speakers too. It's important. Also remember, if you missed the beginning, this is technology free. So during the actual sessions, you have all your mobile phones out, away, so I can't even see them. Because if I just see them, that can be enough. And we'll start every session on time, so you'll be on time. Great. Now, in your notebooks, if you turn to our first section, we have Miss Judy's going to come and talk to us about our calling. We're really talking today, our focus is on our calling, knowing, understanding our calling, and clarifying our calling, and then understanding how that relates to the roles and responsibilities that you have as women and most of you as mothers. So, Judy, you did so great the first section. Come on down. Let's give her a great welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. Before we go to the teaching of our second session, I want to do some exercises first, okay? We will not stand up and do movements, but I want you to write down, you have your manual there, get a pen, and I want you to write down for a few minutes, describe in one or two sentences your calling. Write it down, just you and yourself. What do you think your calling is? I am called to. Or God has called me to. I'll give you a few minutes to do that. Okay, one more minute. Right, most of you are done. Okay, time's up. Everybody look up here. Raise your ball pen. Okay, I want to call a few people to share to us what they have written, okay? Don't worry, in this exercise, there's no right or wrong question. So don't panic. Okay, you will not be judged. You will not be ridiculed. This is your calling. This is what you believe God called you to do. Okay, I want to call Ida. Miss Ida Hansen.
Come on,
can
Ida.
You read what you've written?
I hold. Never give a microphone.
I am called to disciple women and encourage them into future ministry, to activate their gifts and callings, to help steer them towards their field, and to help pastor them.
Wow.
Wow, that's great. Okay, from all the way from Baguio, Julieta.
There we go. Hang on. Hello. Yes.
God has called me to help my husband shepherd his people and raise our kids to serve him and love him.
Okay, next, Jeng of QC.
I believe I'm called to lead.
You just do it by memory, huh?
Yes, no paper.
Or you can do the assignment.
Bullet points.
Bullet points.
Yeah, I do. I believe I'm called to lead, to serve, and to make disciples in ministry and any other field that God would open a door in my life.
Okay, awesome. Last one, Eileen Fabregas. I want to hear your calling.
You're making me work.
Come on.
Here we go, I got it. Tell us when you're ready.
I'm ready. Okay. You're blocking my light.
That's not all I'm going to block in a minute.
Okay, to be an example as a businesswoman of God's kingdom principle that he has called us to be the head and not the tail, to be the lender and not the borrower, to be a blessing to my family and the ministry. And the other one is in the prophetic, is to teach to the church with the gift of prophecy, to train leaders with the gift of prophecy, to travel locally and internationally to build the church through the prophetic for every nation.
Wow. Universal vision. Okay, let's turn to your manual. We have your lesson there, how to know your calling. Okay, you found it? By the way, that lesson is courtesy of our guru, Pastor Paul Barker. Okay. Let me read this to you. The pastor's wife is the only woman I know who is asked to work full-time without pay on her husband's job. I mean, we all felt one way or the other, you know, that. We all felt that, okay? That was Ruth White. The author of What Every Pastor's Wife Should Know. Throughout the years, misconceptions concerning the call of the pastor's wife have caused confusion concerning the congregational expectations and involvement of the pastor's wife in the local church ministry. Many ministries have included the pastor's wife in the life of the church simply because she is married to the pastor. But we must ask the question, is her husband's calling her calling? Or is it possible for the pastor's wife to have a calling of her own that's uniquely her own? Okay, that's the question that we will try to answer through this session. So in this session, we will examine three principles to help us answer those questions. Let's go to the first principle. The first principle is every woman has a primary and secondary calling. Okay, so write it down, calling. And I want you to say this with me, okay? 1, 2, 3, let's read that. Every woman
has a primary and secondary calling.
Okay, if you're a woman here, you have a primary and secondary calling. Every woman has a primary and secondary calling. Okay, the woman's primary calling is to Jesus. Okay, that's our primary calling. We are called to Jesus. It is a call to our relationship with Him. This is the calling that all believers have. Okay, how many believers do I have in the house? Raise your hands. Okay, this is our calling. Every one of us is called to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. At Victory, we frame this calling under the following heading. You should know this. Honor God and make disciples. Okay. This is the definition of primary calling. God calls us to Himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with a special devotion and lived out as a response to His call. He called us to Himself. Victory didn't call you. It was God who called you. Okay? We belong to God. Now let's look at some scriptures in the Bible. The first one is in the first chapter of Romans, verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be His holy people. This idea is further reinforced in the following scriptures. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So there it is again. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, to this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power. So we read those three scriptures. There are more about our calling. And it is so clear from the scripture that God has called us to Himself. That's our primary calling. God called us to have a relationship with Him. Every one of us is called to have a relationship with God. And it is so important for a woman to know first and foremost that she belongs to God. You know, in that scripture, it says that we are holy, that we are His saints. We have been set apart. That's who we are. That's our primary calling, to have a relationship with Him. And it is so important for each one of us to understand that and to keep on reminding himself that I am called to have a relationship with God. That is why I go to church, I pray, I read my Bible, not because you're a pastor's wife. You go to church because you love God. You have a relationship with Him. You read your Bible because you want to know God more. You cannot know God unless you read the Bible, because that's His word. That's how we know Him. We pray, we communicate with Him because we are in relationship with Him, and relationship grows as you communicate. So we do all these things not because we're pastors' wives, but because we have a relationship with Him. That's our primary calling. And I believe that a growing and healthy relationship with God is the foundation upon which we build the other relationships we have, our relationship with our husbands, our relationship with our children, our relationship with other people. We love our husbands, we support him, we want him to be successful. Not, of course, we love him because he's gorgeous and all that, but what if you just have fought, you know, the Sunday before? You will not attend church anymore? No, you're still there in front and clapping and saying, amen, come on, husband, preach it. We do that even though we had a fight the day before. How many of you can relate to me so dearly? Because we love God. We go to church. We don't want to abandon meeting together because we know that we need church. We need to worship with other believers, not because we adore our husband. Of course, we adore him because, you know, we love him. But more than that, because we love God. We support him. We want him to be successful because we love God. It's a reflection of our growing and healthy relationship with God. We mother our children properly. We want to know more how to mother them properly, how to build them up. not only because we want to produce good standing citizen of this world, but because of our relationship with God. We want them to get saved because we want them to also reflect that grace that we have received. We treat others kindly. You know, we go to church, we smile whether it's our personality or not. You know some of us are very amiable, very sweet, and that is great. But some of us are not so amiable and so sweet. But we smile anyway when we go to church because we want to treat people with kindness because we love God. And I tell you, I am not sweet at all, okay? And I have learned through the years, you know, to greet people, to smile, to be considerate of others, to be really, really concerned. And there was a season in my life that I regularly prayed, Lord, give me warmth in my heart. Really, because there are some pastors, they're just so warm. You know, when you get with them, they hug you, they kiss you, they know the names of your children, they know your birthdays, you know, they know everything. And so I know I'm not like that, but because I have a growing relationship with God, I treat people with kindness, whether it's my personality or not. You know, one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of hospitality. And I know a lot of you have that gift. I've seen it in Facebook. You know, you have a party for 100 people and the tables are set. It's color coordinated. You know, the napkins, the rings have names of each 100 guests. You know, that table, the buffet table is filled with food that you cook a month ago and still very good to eat. You know, the dessert table has the 10-layer, you know, extra moist chocolate cake and 3 feet by 2 feet, you know, tiramisu cake, you know, this high. I mean, you're great. And that's fantastic. And I'll tell you, I love being around Shirley and all these girls who just love, you know, the Alabang girls, they just love to open their homes. I saw Phoebe's Facebook. She has 3 guests and the table was set as if the Queen of England is going there. So, I mean, there are women who naturally do that. They're very creative, and that's fantastic. And I'm not. When I took that spiritual gift test, hospitality is not one of my gifts. I tell you, it's not there. But I learned through the years to open my home to people, even though I'm just serving them Jollibee. You know, I've learned to open my home, and I would buy cake from Goldilocks or Red Ribbon because I don't bake. But I've learned to open my home whether it's my gifting or not. And I think, ladies, that, you know, again, that is a reflection of my primary calling, which is to have a relationship with God. So this primary calling is the foundation upon which we build our relationship with our husbands, with our children, and with people. Okay, now let's move on to our secondary calling. The woman's secondary calling is for Jesus. To live out her primary calling in a specific direction, one of which he has uniquely created her for. This calling will be different for all believers. This is the definition of primary calling. God calls us through a strong inner pull and desire toward a particular course of action and or place of service to carry out the unique task he has for us. Okay, let's read some scriptures. In the first chapter of Romans, Paul refers to his secondary calling when he writes, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, and set apart for the gospel of God, Romans 1:1. This idea of secondary calling is further reinforced in the following scriptures. Galatians 1:15, But when He who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by His grace was pleased to reveal His Son to me in order that I may preach Him among the Gentiles. Okay, that's His calling. 1 Timothy 2:6-7, Christ Jesus gave Himself as a ransom for all. For this I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. So we see there Paul's secondary calling. He is an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher to the Gentiles. Now, every one of us has a secondary calling. Everyone. Okay, whether you believe it or not. Everyone. You are not just an extension of your husband. You have your own secondary calling. Our primary calling is to Jesus, to have a relationship with Him. Secondary calling, this is more, it's a unique calling that God has placed in you. You know, one of my favorite scripture is Psalm 139. Deborah quoted this also. Verse 13 and 16. You know, it says there that You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Before, I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then it says, all the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. If I can give you a picture of how God created you, first and foremost, I believe, and I wish you will believe, that you are not a product of mass production. You know, God took time to create you. He really did. You know, and He was so purposeful in putting limb by limb, hair by hair, and created you. You are exactly how He wants you to look like. Your height, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, whether you have a tall nose or a not so tall nose, whether you are fair, brown, or yellow, red, whatever. You, when you came out, you're exactly what God intended you to look like. And when He was creating you, He chose that special calling and embedded it in your heart. It's there. And there's an inner voice that confirms that, that tells you, this is what I am called for. It's there. Whether you know it or not, it's there. It was God who put it there in your heart. So every woman has that secondary calling. Now, you may ask, okay, my question is this. My husband is a pastor. So will my husband's position as a pastor affect my calling? Okay, I would like to ask that question, and I would like to provide an answer to that. You know, roles and calling, sometimes we get confused by that. Roles are functions. They are part that we play. And as pastors' wives, we have roles that we will discuss later, but we have roles as pastors' wives. And if our husband happens to think, I think I have done enough being a pastor, I think I want to be a businessman now. Let's say that happens. Okay, I want to be a businessman now. Will your role change? Who says yes? Okay, who says no? Nobody. But I heard some people say no. Okay, yes, your roles will change. Because your roles is a reflection of his position or whatever he's doing. So if he all of a sudden decided, I have a great revelation. I think I want to be a lawyer now. So you're not a pastor's wife anymore. You are a pastor to a lawyer. So whatever your role you're doing now, whatever function you have now, that will change. Because he's not a pastor anymore. So he's a lawyer. But will your calling change? Who says yes? It's okay to say yes. Who says no? Who says I don't know? Jen, raise your hand. Okay? But our calling will not change. Why? What did we say? Because it was God who chose that calling. He created that calling uniquely for you. So your husband is a lawyer, that's still your calling. Your husband is a plumber, that's still your calling. Your husband is a pastor, that's still your calling. Will the expression of your calling change? Yes. It will change. Now that you're a pastor's wife, you know, you have these roles and you express your calling, you know, what, however it is expressed now. But, you know, when he changes his career, that expression, the expression of your calling will change, but the calling will still be there. Okay? So his calling is his calling and your calling is your calling. And we need to understand that. So let's talk more about that secondary calling. Principle number two. Some women have a secondary calling to vocational ministry. Okay, some women have a calling to vocational ministry. The biblical example of a woman called to a vocational ministry is Priscilla. When Paul first met Priscilla and her husband Aquila, they were already believers with an international tent-making business located in Rome, Corinth, and Ephesus. After 18 months of discipleship and training from Paul, they became members of his apostolic team. We later discovered that they led churches in Ephesus and in Rome. Now, it was common in the first century to always list the name of the husband first before the wife. But in several scriptures, we can see that Priscilla's name is listed first before Aquila. So biblical commentators believe either of the two explanations. Number one, that Priscilla has the most dynamic personality and was the primary spokesperson of the family. Okay, some of you have that personality. You're very dynamic. Okay, or Priscilla was the main minister in the family and Aquila ran the business. Okay, that would be ideal for some of us. Okay, either way, Priscilla was a vocational minister. She works in the ministry. And earlier in the history of Victory, I related to you that I believe that I was called in the ministry even before I married Ferdy. I knew that God has called me in the ministry, and I was in the ministry even before we got married. So whether he became the pastor or not, I knew I was called in the ministry. Of course, it will be tricky if he is a lawyer now and I'm in the ministry. It will be tricky for us, but the calling is there whether I married a pastor or not. And Priscilla is an example of a woman in the Bible who is called to be in the ministry. Okay, principle number three. Some women have a secondary calling to something other than vocational ministry. Okay? The biblical example of a woman called to something other than vocational ministry is Lydia. Okay, we all know her story. Lydia was a wealthy businesswoman in Philippi. She was from the Asia Minor city of Thyatira, and she marketed an expensive and highly sought-after product from a purple dye of her native region. When we first meet her, she is leading a weekly prayer meeting at the River Gangitis. Luke records the event. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer of purple cloth from the city of Thyatira who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart and responded to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household was baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. We know that story in Acts 16, verses 13 to 15. So here is Lydia. She is called to be a businesswoman. The Bible tells us no more about Lydia, but a strong tradition within the early church tells us that she carried on an effective ministry of hospitality, okay, for many years while continuing her business. So she's a businesswoman, but she loves entertaining people. So her secondary calling was in business, okay? And although this calling is different from Priscilla, it was just as important. So one calling is to be in the full-time ministry. The other calling is not to be in the full-time ministry, whether to be an educator, a businesswoman, a lawyer. But both are important to God. Both are of value. One is not important than the other. You know, because you're in the ministry, you're better because you are actually doing directly something about God. That is not so, because this secondary calling is a calling from God uniquely given to you. So whether it is for the ministry or not for the ministry, it's equally important in God's eyes, and it should be with you also. And it is of value as far as God is concerned. So in summary, what did we say? Every woman has a primary calling to Jesus, is to have a relationship with God, and a secondary calling for Jesus, a specific task He uniquely made you for. Now, when we understand that God has called us to Himself to have a relationship with Him, and that He has placed a secondary calling that is so uniquely chosen for you, wherever we are placed, in whatever position we may have, or whatever roles we may take, if we understand those two, we become satisfied. And we effectively become fruitful in the world that we find ourselves in. So it is so important for us to always be reminded that we belong to God, and God has a specific call in my life. It may look like my husband's calling, or it may not look like it, but it is from God. And it is very, very, very valuable in His sight. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much, first and foremost, that You have created us with purpose, that it was not a purposeless creation. You took time to create each one of us. We are what we are today because this is Your delight. It brings delight to You every time You see us, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that as we go on throughout the day, the calling that You have placed in us will become more clearer and clearer and clearer. And give us confidence, Lord. Give us confidence to say, yes, this is what You called me to do, God. And I will do it, and I'll obey You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Great. Yes. Wow, that was excellent. What we want to do is take the next 10 minutes, and at your tables, we want you to discuss with your table mates what you just heard, and especially challenging one another about calling. What was the thing that stood out the most? What is the Lord speaking to you, to the person at the table there today? And this idea of secondary calling, what direction do you feel it leads for you? What are some of the specific things God's called you to do? Do you feel more of a leaning to vocational ministry? In other words, even if your husband wasn't in ministry, that you would be in that direction. Or is it more of something other than vocational ministry? So take about 10 minutes, interact with one another, and then we'll be back and we'll do some more talking about this. Go ahead. Okay. I need a representative from table number 25. Table number 25. I need a representative. Thank you for volunteering, Cricket. Stand up at the microphone, please. It's right there. I know it's a little tall for you. All right, Cricket. Tell us what's the most profound, impacting thing you've heard for your life so far this morning.
I learned about the difference between the roles and the calling.
Yeah.
That your roles can change.
Yeah.
Especially depending on your husband's roles and function, but your calling never changes.
Great thought.
It's something that the Lord has deposited in your heart before you were made.
Yeah, excellent. Very good, Cricket. Cricket, before you put the mic, select somebody that you want to hear from. Pick somebody out. You know these people better than I do. Pick somebody.
Gigi.
There's a lot of Gigi's here. Which one? Okay.
Bendicho.
You've been chosen. I think called is the word. What's the most profound thing you've heard today?
Actually, mine is really a question. I had the question in my group. Is that okay?
Shh, why not?
Because when we were talking about roles and calling,
yeah.
Actually, it wasn't clear to me what the specific role of a pastor's wife should be.
Yes.
So when we were talking about when my husband, let's say, becomes a pastor, a lawyer, my role will change. And I was thinking, how will my role change? I don't specifically know exactly what's expected
what your role
of me.
Is.
Yes, because me, like,
yes.
I'm involved in children's church. I'm
right.
Discipling leaders. But is that what my role should be?
Gigi, you've come to the right place today. The right place, because our last sessions in the afternoon, all of your questions will be answered.
Okay.
Great. Before you sit down, select somebody else you want to hear from. Call on somebody.
Okay. Eileen.
Who? Eileen's already been, she's already had the mic.
Okay. Kitty.
Kitty. Come on, Kitty, stand up. Once you've been called, you cannot resist. Don't resist the Lord, Kitty. Kitty, what's the most profound thing?
I was trying to do the no eye contact.
Yeah,
thing,
that's the people I look for to call on. Kitty, what's the most profound thing you've heard and learned today so far?
I think it was similar to her confusion with her role in the
okay,
calling.
No more confusion. Now tell me something that you're clear about.
Okay, what I'm clear about. Well, I know that my secondary calling is, I know God made me a creative person. I think He made it unique in me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be connected to what my husband's doing for it to be something that I can do. That's the purpose that he has for me, and he made me this person.
It's great.
So that made it clear. It doesn't have to be connected to ministry
it's
to
good.
Be creative
in
that way. And I can be creative in my own way.
Great.
And pursue my pursuits.
Brilliant.
My creative pursuits.
Very profound. So. Kitty, one last person. Call on somebody else. Somebody that you want to get even with.
Her.
No, you can't call her. Somebody
who
refuses to look at you.
Didn't work for me. I guess Jen.
All right, Jen. Take that microphone to her, will you please, Kitty? Thank you. Jen, we're glad to hear from you. Stand to your feet there.
I'll repeat what Belle said, because it's what's in my heart.
Okay, good.
The word that struck us was unique.
Yeah.
Because I think pastors' wives like me who entered late into the history of Victory, that was late 90s already, I felt pressured to be like Deborah and Shirley, who were so good in what they did.
Yeah.
And I would try sometimes to act like them, and but would fail. And then realize that, hey, wait, I'm not called to be like them. God created me uniquely and has given me this calling, which is unique to my giftings and personality. And I don't have to try to be like any other pastor's wife here.
Yeah, excellent. That was profound. Wonderful. Well, what a great morning so far. We've ended a few minutes early, which is good. So it's only 2 minutes early. We'll let them have the whole time. Yeah. Great. Enjoy your lunch. You can turn all your mobile devices on now. Find out what you've missed in the world. And we'll start back at 1 o'clock exactly. And I guess, can we go just through the lines, ladies? Is the food ready? Yes? Let's pray for the food. Lord, thank you for providing this food for us. We thank you that your blessing is upon it. We receive it with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.